may have been as still small voice, but they heard the Master's call. Learning in that moment when they surrendered all. God's word changes lives. Its power cannot be denied. The lost find salvation. The foolish become wise.
Sunday that we will be in the book of Luke. We started this book in June of 2018, and we'll finish it up today as we look at chapter 24, the road to Emmaus. And as we look at this chapter today, we'll see the retreat, the reunion, the rebuke, the revelation, and the return there. Remember, the last few weeks we've been looking at the cross of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, which is the gospel of Christ that we saw. And now we come to the events after the resurrection of Christ. So let's pray, and we will look at the retreat of those disciples going to Emmaus. Father, we thank you for your word. It changes not, and it changes lives. And we thank you for that. And we pray that you would use it today to bring about change in our lives today, that we might be transformed more to the image of Christ, which when we see him, the scripture says that we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So help us to cooperate with what your Holy Spirit wants to do in our hearts today. In Christ's name, amen. As we look at their travel in verse 13, we see that they were on their way to Emmaus there, which is a city about 7 miles from Jerusalem. The word Emmaus means hot springs. And so they were going this direction. And verse 5 it says that Jesus himself drew near them. And verse 14 says they were talking of all the things that had happened there. So we see their travel, which is on the road to Emmaus, and their talk. They were talking together verse 14 says, of all the things that had happened. Remember what had happened starting that week? I mean, that had been a magnificent week. Jesus comes riding into the city of Jerusalem there, Palm Sunday, as we call it, and they were spreading the palm leaves there. And then he was betrayed by Judas. He was persecuted by the high priest. He was condemned to die by Pilate, even though he had found no fault in him. The mob had cried out, crucify him, crucify him, there. And he indeed was crucified by the Romans. And then Joseph of Arimathea came and buried him. And so they were discussing all these things that had been taking place during this magnificent week of what the Lord had designed from eternity past to come and die and rise again for us. And Jesus himself, verse 15, draws himself near to them. So we see this reunion. They are reunited with Jesus. But as we'll see in just a little bit, they really didn't know him because verse 16 says, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And so God had just kind of put a blindness over their eyes of understanding. And even though here's Jesus, the same one they had seen the week prior when he had died and risen from the dead, they didn't know who he was there. And so we see, first of all, that he was anonymous to them. You know, sometimes the Lord is walking right with us and we don't recognize him as well. If our eyes and hearts are not in tune to see him, because he speaks to us through his word, and we need to be aware that he indeed has drawn near to us, and he walks with us, hasn't he? Not only walks with us through the Holy Spirit, he is within us. And as they were walking and discussing all these things, probably the last person they expected to see was Jesus. I mean, they were confused, they were sad, there were so many things going on, and Jesus was gone there. And so he hears them talking, and he asks them a question in verse 17. And so the question that is asked to them is, why are you so sad? Verse 17, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And of course they were sad because Jesus had been with them. He had been a blessing to them. He had provided for them. He had saved them. And they were looking for him to be their, not only their Savior, the Messiah, the one who was going to come and to deliver Israel there. And they were sad. And Jesus then addressed their doubt. Well, they said in verse 18, his name was Cleopas. He said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? You haven't known those things that have happened in these last days? And of course, Jesus knew exactly what they were talking about. But they had this doubt, and Jesus said to him in verse 19, what things? And so now they have opportunity to kind of rehash the things that have happened there. The Lord sometimes will ask us questions. That's what Jesus does here, to get them to speak a little bit to him. That's what God did with the first man and woman when he spoke to Adam, and he said, where art thou? You know, and those questions come, and so they begin to answer, and they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 19 says, he was a prophet, mighty in deed and word. Aren't those things important that they go together? Deed and word. And so should our deeds and words go together. We should live according to God's word, and our deeds should support the words. When we testify that we are a follower of Christ, our deeds should match up with that. Well, Jesus was a man who was mighty in deed and word. And here were these people walking along with doubts. And Jesus is going to address their doubts. You ever have doubts? Oh, I'm sure doubts come. I hope you don't doubt your salvation. But Satan sometimes will cause us to doubt whether we're really saved or not, because he'll come and say, if you were really saved, you wouldn't be doing that, or you wouldn't be thinking that. And he wants us to doubt our salvation. But our salvation is not based upon our feelings, is it? Our salvation is based upon God's word. And God's word never changes there. And he is here to address their doubts. And if you have doubts about what God is doing in your life, God was working in their lives as well. He has an answer to you. He's mighty in deed, the deeds he's doing in your life. He's mighty in word, the word of God, if you will apply the word of God to what he's doing there. And so here he is as a stranger to them for a while. And here they are kind of just pouring out their hearts to a stranger. They're talking about all the things that had happened as they have this reunion with Jesus. And as they are talking to him, now he goes to rebuke them for their lack of faith. Verse 21 says, "We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." The Old Testament scriptures had prophesied, and they had been taught all these years that the Messiah, the Redeemer, is coming to deliver Israel, and they thought that this was the one, and he was the one, but they weren't expecting him to come like he did as a servant. They weren't expecting him to die like a man. They were expecting something else there, but God is giving to them exactly what they need, even though they don't fully understand it. And so it is in our lives. There are some things that come into our lives that we don't fully understand. But can we trust God that he is doing the right thing for me all the time, even when I don't understand it there? And so the rebuke is for their transgression. And their transgression is not believing. And verse 25, he said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe," there. They didn't believe God's word. And so now God is rebuking them for that. And the Bible says in Romans 14, 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so here they are, they're not taking God at his word, believing that this is the Christ, the one who was coming to redeem Israel, and it is indeed the very one, Jesus Christ. He calls himself that in verse 26. Jesus said, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things?" And so Jesus is going to tell them the truth. The word "ought" that's translated in our King James Bible is a Greek word that means something that must happen. It is a necessity. And Jesus says that the Christ must suffer these things. Why must he suffer? Well, the answer is because that's what God said in the Old Testament. Isaiah 53 and other places, God said that the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the one who was coming to redeem Israel, in Isaiah 53 we have that passage that we call the suffering servant. And so these people on the road to Emmaus, they weren't expecting that. Though they knew those scriptures, they weren't making the proper application to those scriptures. And sometimes we can know some of God's word, but we're not taking God's word and applying it to our hearts and lives like God wants us to apply it. The scripture said it must happen. So Jesus said in verse 26, "Ought not Christ to have suffered?" And when he said that, he is identifying himself as the Christ, which of course is the New Testament equivalent to Messiah. Messiah in the Old Testament and Christ in the New Testament, both are words that means anointed. And so Jesus says that he was the anointed one of God, the only one of God who can take away the sins of man. And so these things that they were discussing about Jesus coming in to Jerusalem and dying and being buried and rising from the dead, he's gone from the tomb. And they weren't so sure at that time that he was risen. They just knew he was gone. They had so many things going through their minds they didn't know. And Jesus is walking right next to them. And he's explaining to them the scriptures there. And that's what we see in verse 27. We see his teachings there. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Expounding. We use a word expository, and style of preaching. Some preachers like to use topical. They'll preach on prayer, or preach on giving, or preach on, they just get all the topics. And I really enjoy the opportunity to have expository preaching, where I can expound the Word of God verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and go through these things. And Jesus said in verse 27, as He is expounding them, all the Scriptures, things concerning Himself. Think about all the Scriptures. We kind of break the Old Testament down into several divisions. The Law, or the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, and then the historical books, and then the prophets, both major and minor prophets, and the poetical books of Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon. And so Jesus says here, in all the Scriptures. So in all of those areas of the Old Testament, because that's what the word Scriptures is referring to, the New Testament Scriptures weren't written when Jesus is speaking this there. And Jesus the Christ, concerning Himself. So when we read about the Messiah coming in the Old Testament, it's talking about Jesus, which the word means Savior, the Christ, the Anointed One, and He's teaching about Himself. This word expounded, as you see in verse 27, it's a Greek word. We get our English word hermeneutics from that. And hermeneutics is the doctrine or the teaching of interpretation of Scripture. And I have books in my office on hermeneutics and had to take a course in hermeneutics. And so it's interpreting and expounding the Scriptures. And that's what Jesus did as He was teaching them. And so preaching that is not teaching is not scriptural preaching. We need to be teaching about the Word of God. And Jesus was directing them back to the Scriptures. When they had all these doubts and all these questions, where does Jesus take them? He takes them to the Scriptures to teach about Himself. And whenever we have doubts and we don't understand things, what we need to do is go to the Word. God's Word has the answers there. And we should always be directed to the Scriptures when we're confused, when we're weary, when we're uncertain, when we're tired, when we're full of doubts, when we just don't know, we go to the Word. Jesus used the Scriptures there. And we need to use the Scriptures in our personal lives as well. Well, here they are talking with Jesus, and guess what? They got answers and they got hope. And where else do we find answers and hope? We find it from Jesus. John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 goes on to say, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So when we need answers, sometimes it might be a rebuke. But even in the rebukes that God gives us, He is teaching us about Himself. And He uses the Scriptures to do that. Well, let's move on to the revelation that they had, beginning at verse 28. They drew nigh to the village, whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. When it says He made as though He would have gone further, it doesn't mean that He was pretending to go further. That was the way He was making Himself to go, and so He was headed to continue on His way. But they didn't want Him to leave, and that should be our desire as well. They had a desire for more. Look what they did in verse 29. They constrained Him, saying, abide with us. Man, He was opening the Scriptures to them. And they were longing to hear more of the Scriptures. That should be our heart's desire too, isn't it? To know more of the Scriptures. To hear it preached, whether in church or on radio or podcast or in your own personal devotions there. To hear the Scriptures. The desire is there. And this was a result of walking side by side with Jesus. And whenever we're walking close to Jesus, we're going to have a desire for more of His Word. And when we start to drift away from the Lord Jesus, we also start to drift away with our desires for the Word of God. And here they are. They constrained Him. They say, abide with us. We want more of this. Verse 30, and it came to pass as He sat at meat with them. And so not only do we see the desire for more, we see the delight of fellowship. He took bread when he was there with them in verse 30, and he blessed it and broke it and gave to them. And notice what happened in verse 31. Their eyes were open. What was it that caused, remember their eyes were holden, we saw earlier, they couldn't understand, they didn't know who he was? It was in the breaking of bread, because he had done that. He had done that with the disciples. He had done that with the multitudes. He would often break the bread and give thanks. And I'm wondering here, it doesn't say at this particular time when he broke the bread, wonder if they saw the scars in his hands. I don't know. But it was when the breaking of the bread, it was at that time of fellowship there that they began to know who he was. Their eyes were open, and immediately verse 31 says, he vanished. He vanished out of their sight. Here he is sitting there with them. He had been walking with them side by side. He comes in and he's fellowshipping with them, and he takes the bread and gives thanks. Their eyes are open, and he's gone. That might have been a little bit frightening. What do you think there? And so now they had some questions before. They're probably going to have some more even now. But with those questions, there came a display of feeling as well. In verse 32, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures there? It was the scriptures that caused their hearts to burn inside them. And we need to keep the scriptures ever before us. Jeremiah in chapter 20, verse 9, as he was preaching and thinking maybe he had enough and he would stop, he said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. Jeremiah said the word of God was burning in my heart and I couldn't help but share it. And here, these on the road to Emmaus, their heart is burning within them and they have this emotional outburst now because of that. And that's okay, isn't it? Emotions are good, aren't they? God gave us emotions there. And so here their hearts burning with this feeling of love for the Lord. And it was during the eating with them. In my Bible, in verse 30 and 31, I like to draw arrows. In verse 30, I have underlined, as he sat at meat with them, verse 31, their eyes were opened. And in just a little bit, being the first Sunday of the month, we have the Lord's table. We have communion on the first Sunday of each month. And we have opportunity to take of the bread and the cup and fellowship with him. And he will then be able to open our eyes. If we ask him, said, Lord, show me what you want me to see in my life as the elements are being passed later on, we can do that. And our hearts can burn within us as well. Well, they leave and they go to declare it to others. And the message they come back to others is, he really is alive, just like it's been told. Look at verse 33. They rose up the same hour, they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together. And they're still there. Remember how far it was? 7 miles they had walked, 2 to 3 hours probably. And now they go back, and they're still there. And verse 34 says, they said, the Lord is risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. He came and walked with us and he talked with us. He taught us the scriptures and he broke the bread and we had fellowship with him. He really is alive. Boy, and they were refreshed now as they are running back to Jerusalem there, giving this report there. He appeared to Simon Peter, as we see in verse 34. And so now they are so excited that God has opened their eyes. God still opens eyes today, doesn't he? He opens eyes, as we heard in the song. He changes lives. He's still doing that, and he does it through his word. And then we come to their return to Jerusalem, beginning at verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. He said to them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And Jesus said, "Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts?" And God asks us the same thing. Are you troubled? What are the thoughts in your hearts? Why the doubts? Why the confusion? Why the sadness? Christ must have suffered. That was God's plan, to come and take our place there. And verse 39, he says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And so they were able to see his hands, able to see his feet. It is the very same Jesus that was crucified. He is alive. He's risen. Can you imagine, as they were waiting and they were troubled, it says in verse 38, remember, for the last 3 years, they had walked with Jesus. They had left their jobs. And now for 3 years, they had had this life of walking with Jesus. He had provided everything they needed, but now he's gone, at least they thought. And they don't know what they're going to do next. But he had it under control. If we ever get to the point that we don't know what we're going to do next, things have changed in my lives, the job, I don't have a job, or whatever it might be, Jesus is always walking near us. His Holy Spirit is within us. The Word of God is given to us, and God expounds his Word and teaches us as we go to the Scriptures. And so we see in verse 38, Jesus says, "Why are these thoughts arising in your hearts?" We saw earlier that those on the road to Emmaus, their hearts were burning. Verse 40 says, "And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said, 'Do you have any meat?'" So they still weren't sure. They see the nail prints. Is this really him? Is it really a human? Is it not a spirit? And so he begins to eat fish and a honeycomb, verse 42 says. And verse 44, "These are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must," there's that word "must" again, "it must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms." And so that's there in the Pentateuch, it's there in the prophets, it's there in the poetical books, it's even in the history books of the Old Testament. Verse 45, "And then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." You know, the Scriptures are spiritually understood. That's why 1 Corinthians tells us that unsaved people, they don't have an understanding of the Scriptures, because the things of God are spiritually discerned. And when God puts his Holy Spirit within us, he allows us to have an understanding of the Scriptures there. Verse 44 says, "Thus it is written, and it behooved Christ, the Messiah, to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached." And so faith and repentance, they go hand in hand for a person to be saved there. And so Jesus tells them in verse 49, "Tarry yet in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And then he leaves. He ascends. Verse 51, "He was parted from them, and he was carried up to heaven." And so here they are. He has left them when he was crucified and rose from the dead. And he was with those on the road to Emmaus, and he broke bread with them. And then he left them. He just vanished from sight. And now he's there talking to them. And now he vanishes again. He's carried into heaven, verse 52. "And they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God because of those things. And in this, we're not going to go back and look at all of these verses, but we see in this story that they had blinded hearts. They didn't understand. They were heavy hearts. They were sad. They had slow hearts. They were slow to believe. Then they had seeing hearts. God opened their understanding. Then they had these burning hearts where the Word of God was burning in them. Then they had rejoicing hearts in verse 34. Troubled hearts, understanding hearts, empowered hearts in verse 49, and then grateful hearts in verse 50 because they began to worship and they were full of praise and blessing to God because they had walked with Jesus and they had been in His Word and He had spoken to their hearts and it had penetrated into their hearts. And in conclusion, three things. He still opens the Scriptures for us. That's where we get our understanding of the Scriptures. He still makes our hearts burn within us when we spend time with Him and His Word, and He still gives us glimpses of Himself, making us hunger for more. And that's what they did. They constrained Him. We want to hear some more. And that should be our desire when we are walking close to the Lord Jesus. Our desire is to have more and more and more.